It's our first time together and I'm feeling kind of horny. Conventional methods of making love kind of bore me. I want to knock your block off, get my rocks off, blow your socks off, make sure your G-spot's
off. I'm going to call you Big Bobby and scream your name. Matter of fact, I can't wait for your candy rain.
So what you saying? I get my swerve on, bring it live, make it last forever. Damn, the kitty cat's tight.
Bobby, slow down your flow. Put it on me like a G, baby, nice and slow. I need a rough neck, Bobby Mandingo in the sack. Who ain't afraid to pull my hair and split me from the back?
No doubt. I'm the player that you're talking about.
But did you really think that you could work it out?
I guarantee you, shawty, it's real. Baby, stick it out. Here comes the man of steel.
Doing it and doing it and doing it well. Doing it and doing it and doing it well. Doing it and doing it and doing it well.
I represent Florida. She was raised in Puerto Rico. Let's start the show.
Espérate un momentito. Que comience el show. There's typically four glasses in a bottle. It's about four.
That's a lot.
But it depends on which ones. Because, you know, I have that little membership or whatever. So, like, some of them have as low as 11%. Some of them high as 33%.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the 33%, I don't even do those during the week. I just do those on the week.
Oh, okay. All right. Excuse me. Welcome to the Short Desk Podcast. This is episode 10. Holla at your boy. We're in here for episode 10. Thank you guys so much for your support. I didn't think we would ever get this far, gentlemen. Did y'all?
I thought so.
You did? Really? Drew?
Whatever.
Oh my God, this thing. So, yeah, we're here. We want to thank you again for your support, for your downloads.
I will tip my hat to you. You dragged me out of my cave 10 episodes. So
good. That's what it's all about.
Must be something.
It is. It really is.
Round of applause.
Thank you guys for your support with the downloads of the podcast. Continue to download on iTunes, Apple. I'm actually going to put a tutorial out how to download on iTunes, because I just found out myself with iTunes and Apple Podcasts. So it ain't just subscribing. It's also downloading. So thank you guys again. Got an email the other day saying that we were ranked 115 out of 6,980 podcasts in the entertainment news on Apple Podcasts. So round of applause for us.
Shout out to Zimbabwe.
Yes. Oh, man.
We got somebody in Zimbabwe?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah, we got down
there. Sudan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Big ups.
Yeah. Worldwide, baby. And we're continuing to get better as, you know, hey, we're going to have some hiccups. We're going to have some issues where, you know, we, you know, have some issues with the podcast. We're still novices. And again, you know, we're family. So you guys are just part of the conversation with us. And speaking of family, we do have another guest host on episode 9. We had a guest host and we got episode 10. We got a guest host. We got Miss M. Rochelle Jules. It's her business.
Hello.
She's in the building. That's what you heard talking earlier about her sipping on wine every day.
You really need a
sign of it. Welcome to the hot seat.
How you feeling today?
I'm great. How are you guys doing? I'm awesome. Thank you for having me.
Good. So,
welcome, dearest.
So, John has started early. He's not even with the wine that we're going to pop open. He just went straight for the Uncle Nearest that Drew had left here. And he's damn near about to finish that bottle by himself. So midway through, he may start leaning. So
my eyes might start drooping while I lean.
Yeah.
There's only one drooper.
So I do want to thank you again.
There's only one droop.
That's only one Drew. So I want to thank you again, Mahogany, for coming through with us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Also, thank you for the giveaway that you were doing for episode 10. you were, you know, giving away three items from your collection.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to do the little drawing right now as we speak.
Awesome.
So tell me about the first thing that you're going to be giving away from your collection.
Okay,
jewels.
So depending on, I guess it's depending upon whether or not it's a male or female.
Some of these I don't even know.
So
well, we can't really use those terms anymore these days. So.
I
but
will.
That's another.
You will continue.
We don't need to play the foolery. So
you're going to continue.
Well, depending on what the person, the individual would like, they can either customize a waist bead, however they'd like, a bracelet, earrings, pretty much anything that they can see that's on my page, on my Instagram page, that they would like to have or have customized, we can do that as part of the giveaway. So it's just dependent upon what they like.
All right. Well, the first winner is What a Beauty KC. That is the first winner.
That's my cousin.
Oh, well, hey.
That's my baby cousin.
Well, your baby cousin said, hey, I'm going to
do so. Underscore KC.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. That is definitely Kenya.
Okay. Well, hey, because you gotta hook up, so you make sure you reach out to her and get her what she needs.
I will. Right. She'll get me.
All right. And for the second item, what you got? What you made for this? What's the second item?
Kenya's probably gonna want waist beads, so okay. We'll do bracelets.
Okay. So the second winner is The Real Tip. Well, you and I both know who this is.
That's one of my best friends.
So that's the second.
I guess
winner.
They went kind of hard, huh?
Hey, listen, they want to make sure they was in there.
Oh man!
And for the third winner, this actually looks like a male. Ken 24195.2. I think they're on our page, so okay. I'll give you the information from Instagram, and you can reach out to him and you guys can go from there. So congratulations to the three winners.
Congratulations, everybody.
That you guys have actually now been in the sweepstakes of the giveaway. Just a thank you that Mahogany wanted to do for the business that she started to obtain. And, you know, we want to thank you as well for listening to the podcast. We are greatly appreciated for everything that you're doing for the business that you've given Mahogany and also for listening, downloading us. So thank you so much for everything. So Mahogany, tell us a little bit more. I know we kind of went in depth about your business while you weren't here.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about your business as far as like, you know, I know you got started because they weren't making jewelry for women that had, you know, your size as far as for your wrists and everything like that. Was it very difficult learning how to make the jewelry, or?
I had a slight strategy. YouTube is an awesome teacher.
Love YouTube.
You can learn pretty much anything on YouTube. In addition to that, what I did after watching a few things on YouTube, I actually got a job at a bead store that has since shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And I got a job at the bead store, and they allowed the employees to take every class for free.
Wow.
So I took every class that they offered like four times.
Really?
Yeah. And it was like, as long as you work here, you can take the classes as much as you want. So you learn the small technicalities, because it's a difference between, like, I'm in what they can consider an overly saturated market. But it's going to be about the quality of your work, the design of your work, and then how well it lasts and how long it lasts. So my focus was to put out really nice, high quality, but economically priced jewelry.
Okay.
So, and that's how it came about, really.
Wow. Well, I will tell you, you know, and I said this to you earlier, what I'm not a jewelry man. I don't like wearing watches. The only jewelry I wear is my wedding ring. So I don't like it. But like I was telling you guys earlier, you know, the jewelry that you made for me that I'm wearing on my wrist right now, my favorite color.
Yeah.
I had to look down. I mean, I looked down one time. I was like, damn, I didn't know I had this on my wrist. And that's important for me because I don't like wearing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to feel that it's there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So going all morning with having this on and not knowing that it's on is a big plus for me. I know that my wife was very thrilled with her things that she got from you that she ordered. So it's is a good product. You know
thank
what
you,
I mean?
Thank you.
Really, really appreciate the work that you're doing. Now, I wanted to ask you, what are some, well, before we get into that.
Yeah, you done took off without.
What are we, first of all, we can't hear you, Drew, because you're like 3 miles away from the microphone.
That's fine.
And what are we sipping on today?
So, originally I had, I'm probably going to mispronounce this, but that's okay. It's a Merlot out of California, up in, out of Napa Valley, called Camomi. However.
A what?
C-A-M-O-M-I.
Camomi.
Camomi. Okay.
Camomi.
Camomi. You have to see
I
that.
Like you sound it out every syllable.
All of them.
Okay.
However, we're still going to sip on that, but Miss Emmerichelle has graced us with a bottle of her own.
Oh.
So we're going to sip on this first. It is San Sebastian. It's a red, premium red wine. I love the alcohol content of this one, by the way.
Of course.
So we're going to sip on this one first. So if you will. But John is already taking off over there.
Yeah, John is already in his uncle.
He is in the zone.
Yes, sir.
What is the name of it again?
Uncle Nearest.
Uncle Nearest bag right
one,
now.
The one that taught Jack yeah. Daniels, by the
so
way.
So a few episodes back, you know, we had that nasty whiskey. And
I listened to that episode before.
You didn't like that one?
You know, that's right. Drink
thank you.
Stuff. And so you're not going to pull me down?
Damn. You don't like? So I think the one that you liked the most was that Blood of Judas stuff.
And that's what everybody, you know, came and asked me about.
Oh,
just
yeah.
to let you guys know. But John doesn't even want the wine. He's getting slizzard.
Sip
on the Uncle Nearest right now. He's in his Uncle Nearest bag. He's going to be leaning probably about 40 minutes into the episode, just to let y'all
Did
know.
Did you eat today?
Yes. Okay. So this is on the sweeter end.
Was it the first time that she was like, I haven't even eaten today?
You like this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the first time when I didn't eat. I was really leaning that day.
So let me tell you something. I really, I'm making too much noise. I'm sorry. I really like this.
Mm-hmm.
This is right down my alley. Mm-hmm. I had to add a couple of ice cubes to it.
Me too.
This is a little cold.
If you freeze grapes, they don't water it down when they melt.
Oh.
Sound like a true alcoholic. I'm sorry. A connoisseur. Yeah.
Let's use the proper terminology.
Yeah.
It's not ladylike to be an alcoholic.
I'm sorry. You're right. I ain't put your business like that.
And his mom was listening.
That is
an overconsumer of alcohol.
It is very good.
Just a connoisseur.
I actually like this, and I don't like sweeter wines.
So San Sebastian, is that from Lake Ridge Winery? Because I think they make
this one.
San Sebastian, that's St. Augustine.
Yes.
Yes.
And
yes.
Claremont.
Publix, Total Wine should.
Mm.
So it's probably $11.
San Sebastian Vintner's Red.
This is good.
I can't read.
Because it's not super sweet. It's not super dry.
It isn't super sweet. It isn't super dry.
Yeah. My friend, one of my longtime friends, her name is LaShonda.
Mm-hmm.
She, after not seeing each other for a long time, she was in Tampa and I was here.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I'm coming to your house. We're going to sit. And she brought two bottles of this. And ever since then, we we ate, we drank, we laughed and caught up. And
that's what it's about, though, you know?
Yeah.
We got to start keeping track of all this, like. As far as a ranking system.
Okay. That'll be good.
Maybe that'll be my homework for the week or something.
I think you should do that. I'll make sure it is homework for you. So let me ask you, with the business that you started and everything, how long have you been doing this? And what are some of the hurdles that you've had to overcome being in this business? Because you did say it's oversaturated, which I did not know. But again, I've seen people say, hey, you know, like Dwayne said, he's always run into issues where they weren't good, the service wasn't good, and also the beads, you know, the jewelry and things were good. So what are some of the hurdles you had to overcome doing this?
Some of the hurdles are people's price point. I don't think that people understand that although the materials, like, yeah, I buy wholesale. Yes, I get everything, you know, because I did my business the right way. I licensed and did everything. People don't understand that you still have time. You know, I think that I'm reasonably priced, but I do have some individuals who consider me expensive. but they don't know what goes into it. And I use my precious stones. I use high quality metals.
I'm sorry. I don't want to. I don't want to cut you off. I really don't. I don't usually do this, but somebody said that you were expensive for what you sell. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
No.
And I'm not. Listen, I'm not going to blow smoke up you, but
of course,
your prices are extremely reasonable for the work and the quality of work that you do. And the service that you provide. So you've had people actually say that you were overpriced. So what were they looking for? Dollar store shit?
Probably. Okay. But I tell people, you know, if you can find somebody respectfully, if you can find someone that does what I do at a lower cost, by all means, I recommend you do that. Mm-hmm. The mistake that I made early on making jewelry is that I undersold myself. Mm-hmm. So I was in the red. And I was like, okay, no. Because jewelry started out as a hobby. Mm-hmm. Just for myself, I was giving stuff away 14, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
But then it got to the point where that hobby became very expensive because I liked nicer things. Mm-hmm. So in order for me to put out a quality product, I was like, okay, you know, the saying, it take money to make money. I had to do that. And then I went into, you know, what I use now as far as materials and everything like that. Then you establish relationships with distributors and everything, and it's only up from there.
Mm. So what's been the hardest part for you once you got your feet on the ground with the business? What's been the hardest part? Like, and it's still hard for you. What would you say is the hardest part?
It's a good problem, keeping up.
Okay.
Now it's just a matter of keeping up with the amount of orders. Like,
okay.
When I leave here, I got to get right back on my table.
Because you hand make everything, right?
I hand make everything by myself.
Right.
So, and then I'm prepping for vending. So, of course, you want to have a good amount of inventory, lots of variety for people to pick from and choose from. So, it's a good problem that I have. I don't have a bad issue now. And like I said, it can be deemed overly saturated because everybody has a style, you know. The good thing is I look at what other people do and veer away from it.
Okay.
Because I don't want to copy anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can copy me, good luck.
Wow. That's good. So you mentioned vending.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that. So you're going to be taking it to in person.
Mm-hmm.
What is that going to look like, and when are you going to start doing that, and where? And
so I will start vending next weekend at Barker Park. I have to look at the address. I don't remember. I know how to get there, so I didn't look at the address, but I'll be doing that on Saturdays from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. They have a farmer's market out there, and it's a lot of other vendors, a lot of nice things, some of the best produce I've had.
And this is on Saturday?
This is Saturdays.
Okay. And that address is 2000 Monte Carlo Trail, Orlando, Florida, 32805. And your hours will be?
9 a.m. to 2 p.m.
9 a.m. to 2 p.m. So will you have pretty much your whole inventory there?
So far, yes, waist beads, beaded bracelets, bangles with inspirational charms and everything on it. Mm-hmm. Lots and lots of earrings, like a ridiculous amount of earrings because I enjoy making them the most right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been just over making those.
Okay.
And we got about 200 strands of waist beads ready.
Wow.
And there's tie-on waist beads.
Now, will this be a weekly thing for you?
Yes, that's the goal.
Okay.
It's definitely the goal to do it every single week, especially in the month of April.
Okay.
As long as I can make sure that I keep up with inventory.
Okay, that's cool. Well, you guys make sure you go check her out. Again, she'll be at George Barker Park. That's at 2000 Monte Carlo Trail, Orlando, Florida, 32805. Every Saturday, starting next Saturday of the April the 3rd kind.
Yes.
So, okay, that's cool. All right. That's good to hear. So, Drew, did you know history, blackness for us?
Did you know history? Yes, I did. Mm-hmm. I've never heard this name before in my life, not in school. However, I'm going to introduce everybody to Benjamin Oliver Davis the Senior.
Okay.
Mr. Davis, is the first African-American general officer in the regular army and in the United States Armed Forces. He was born in Washington, D.C. on July 1st, 1877. He entered the military service on July 13th of 1898 during the war with Spain as a temporary first lieutenant in the 8th United States Volunteer Infantry. Because, you know, we didn't have no rights back then. So
right.
Everything was on a volunteer basis, yeah, right?
Yeah. Pushed to the front of the line, too.
He was promoted to first lieutenant on March 30th of 1905, then to captain on December 24th of 1915, then major on a temporary basis on August 5th, 1917. So some of his decorations or awards that he's won, he won the Bronze Star and the Distinguished Service Medal. He won the Distinguished Service on...
Ooh,
yeah, yeah, that yeah. Kick in there.
Man, it already knew you.
In February of 1945, he won the Distinguished Medal of Honor. Mm. And in 1944, no, that's not right. We'll come back to that one.
Man, so Drew is drinking wine, and I guess he's a little slosh.
He said he liked the alcohol content.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. It's good. It's one of them sneaky...
He's a little slarshed.
No, I'm not slarshed.
Okay. He's stumbling. Have you ever heard of him stumbling over the word? Yeah, he's a little slarshed.
See, my problem is I try to talk too fast right now, and I need to slow myself down.
Yeah, take your time, pace brother.
Yourself. It's okay. It's
all right. You're not talking in patois, so take your time. Yeah. John is like zoned out over there. You know, I don't know if that Uncle Nearest hit him already.
I don't think I ate enough.
Oh, my God.
Again.
Face is numb.
Okay. See, now this is going to be good. This is going to be really good.
I like this. I like the way this feels. Take that.
All right, so listen. We did have a little homework for us to do, and that was to review the Justice League movie.
Cheers for that.
That like was that. Released a couple of weeks ago.
Show.
And so let's talk about it. The 4-hour epic Snyder cut Justice. No, he's not trying to toast you. He wants some port in his cup.
Oh.
Hey, so John gave his cup. And so Drew thought he was trying to toast him. John like,
You was some of that in there.
But y'all finish it.
That bottle's gone, by the way.
Oh, that was
now
funny.
I can toast you.
No,
we done now. Go ahead and sip it.
My feelings hurt now.
So they released. So what happened is, for all the comic book fans, there was a movie release. It was called Justice League. It was with Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Cyborg, Flash, Aquaman. This was released a few years ago. Zack Snyder, who directed the first Superman movie, and then he did Batman vs. Superman, he also started work on the Justice League movie. Well, there was a tragedy that happened where his daughter passed away, and so he had to leave the movie. So what Warner Brothers did is they brought in Joss Whedon. Joss Whedon is the guy that directed the first Avengers movie for Marvel. That was his last movie, too. And so... they brought him in, and needless to say, the Justice League movie was trash. So,
damn, you went straight for
the first one. The first
jugular.
One. I just remember the last rant. I'm nervous.
Yeah,
yeah. So, yeah. You should be nervous. So,
don't be nervous. Cause
why are you back away from the table? No.
This is good. The first Justice League movie was trash. It was comedic when it didn't need to be. It really didn't have a backstory on a lot of things to follow up from the Batman vs. Superman movie. Cyborg was kind of thrown in there. Flash didn't really have a backstory. It really just was not a good movie. So people started finding out that Zack Snyder had almost finished completing his version before the tragedy happened with his daughter. And so there was a petition signed by fans all across, release the Snyder Cut, release the Snyder Cut. And so they did do that, eventually on HBO Max. And it was broken up into, well, not broken up. It was a 4-hour movie.
Just about.
And I'm going to go first.
Please leave us some time this time around.
This ain't coming to Zamunda. This is really, I was very pleased. I really, really enjoy this movie because what they did was they gave a great backstory to Cyborg. Cyborg was like the unsung hero in this whole movie.
I didn't realize he was that bad of an ass of a, yes, of a person.
Yes, you know? Yes, he is. He was, you know, he had his legs cut out from under him. And, you know, there's an issue going on with the actor that played him with Joss and also Warner Brothers. You know, he had some issues there, but he had an excellent, excellent backstory. It was 4 hours long, right? Not one time did I feel like, man, is it still going? Is it still going? I actually sat through and watched it all because I made time for it where it was, you know, I didn't have anything really to do. The backstory for, well, the story for Flash was fleshed out. He was an intricate part of the ending, too. It wasn't how the original was, where he was pushing a dumbass truck with dumbass kids and they dumbass parents through the end on the first cut. That was a stupid, dumbass ending to a movie.
I'm going to apologize now, Mama, if you're listening here.
Is this your mama listening?
Yeah, your mama listening. That's why I got to apologize to.
So the way that they brought Superman back.
He was raised better than this.
The way they brought Superman back was more fleshed out. You know,
In the second one,
you know, it was very. Because
it wasn't important.
Out.
It was right. Yeah.
And then he had on the black costume.
That was real.
The whole time. And I don't want to give it away for people that haven't seen it. But if you have not seen it, I will say that this was the defining movie for Warner Brothers and for DC Comics. The messed up part about it is now the head of Warner Brothers is now saying, that's it. They're moving on from Snyder. They're not going to let him, because he wanted to make this a trilogy. And because
they set it up for it.
Yeah, yeah. But they're saying, no, we're moving on. So guess what? Now they started a petition that they're already at 1 million signed to let him finish out the way he wanted to do his movies. Because Wonder Woman 1984, trash. Okay?
Who directed that one?
The same lady that directed the first one. I don't know what got into her mind to do what she did, but I fell asleep.
I didn't watch midway through. So I can't comment on that one.
Okay, but this last Justice League Snyder cut was excellent. You're not going to hear me rant and rave because I really enjoyed it. 2 freaking thumbs up. What were your thoughts, fellas?
I can't add anything because I didn't do my homework.
Wow.
Sorry, guys.
Very disappointed in you, John.
24 karat.
That's at least 15 sprints.
Yeah, at least.
Damn.
And 10 bear crawls. Whew. What you think?
Rolls.
So, for me, the first 30 minutes of the movie was kind of long winded. Kind of like the first one. Like the whole first one was long winded to me. But after that, this movie was actually very damn good. I didn't realize that DC could put out a product like that. But again, I think that's a testimony to Snyder. I enjoyed the backstories of every character. I didn't realize, again, how Cyborg was that bad of an ass. I knew he was, you know, but they touched upon it a little bit in the first one. They didn't really give the backdrop to it.
They didn't give his story or anything.
The Flash, you didn't realize the Flash was the reason why they were able to accomplish what they accomplished, because he turn back time. If you realize that.
Yes.
Don't give it away, bro. You know, ask me my opinion on it. So I'm gonna give you my opinion on it. So the only reason that they succeeded was because of the Flash.
Yes.
And Cyborg too. So I like how they tied in how the advice that, you know, the Flash's dad gave him when he told him not to come back and visit him in prison. Mm-hmm. And he used that as his motivation to be able to do something that he's never done and turn back time to be able to accomplish what they accomplished, right?
Mm-hmm.
Superman being washed out, I didn't think he was an intricate part of it. The first movie, they kind of made him to be the one that, you know, that really got him to the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie, you actually saw that he wasn't really the one. He was an important part, to so to speak, but he wasn't the reason why they accomplished what they accomplished.
No. I mean, he did come in and...
That's all he did was punch, you know, a couple times.
Knock his horse.
Yeah, you know, he knocked Buddy back in place a couple times.
Bruh, he was done after that.
which allowed, you know, Cyborg and Flash to do their thing. But
yeah.
One thing I appreciated, it was the lack of slow motion close ups that the first movie had. It was like one continuous effing.
I
said I use effing instead of because his mom is listening to that.
I heard you before. Though, but today you're doing good.
Yeah, I mean, my aunt
that
told me
that was my only concern coming here. I was like, his mother's listening.
Yeah,
be a lady.
So I'm glad that they went away from that.
Yeah.
One continuous slow close up after another. I will say for Wonder Woman, they need to give her some different moves because it's the same three, four moves. And now she's more in the comics. She was a badass, you know, but the same three, that's got to change up.
I'll tell you, my favorite part of the movie, the funniest part to me was, so in the original one, which they kept for this one, was when Flash tried to go attack Superman and he thought he was going to get him while Superman had everybody else in a chokehold. Mm. And then he didn't realize that Superman was just as fast as him. And Superman was watching him as he was going around. He got shot by that. Should be. And so that was the funniest part. But the best part that they added for this one is he was coming to tackle Superman. And Superman just did like a matador move and like waved him to the side and he rushed and bum rushed Aquaman flashed it. I just thought that was a little piece that, you know, made that scene better when Superman was awakened. So what a different movie. You know what I mean?
Night of course, and day.
Night
and day.
It was night and day, man. And Warner Brothers, if you want to be successful, if you want to compete with Marvel, you need to let this man carry out his vision, because there is no other way that you will be able to compete in another path. Because Wonder Woman 1984 was just horrible, and if you're going down that path, it's not good. Did you watch the movie?
I did not.
No,
I barely watched TV.
Oh, excuse me.
It's okay. But I'm learning a lot here. I might watch it just because of what I'm
learning. You should. It's a very good movie.
But you said it was how long?
Four. But you can, you know, hey.
No, I want 4 hours.
That's a part-time work shift.
It is half-time work shift. An eight-hour work day. But
okay.
It was good. It was very good. Try it out. John, hopefully next episode 11, if you can hear what I'm saying, because right now I don't know if you can. Hopefully you've been watching.
Sipping us a sister.
Bro, he is going over there.
Peel, working the peel. Peel.
So, and he had a little sweet, and that's what I'm going to get into. He had something to put on his stomach, but I guess it didn't soak it up enough.
That don't do well with alcohol.
That's it doesn't. Unlitted. You're right.
That's
right.
Like unleaded gas.
Yeah,
like.
That's right. That's true. So I do want to touch base on a local business. This local business highlight, again, someone I'm very proud of. Her name is Angelique. I know as Angelique de Jesus. I can't pronounce a new last name, and she's going to kill me for that.
Classmate.
She, you know, I've known her since we were in middle school, and I had no idea that she had any aspirations of being a baker. But she has her own home cottage bakery. It is called Ooh La La Confectionery. It's located around the Lake Nona area in Orlando, Florida. They make delicious custom cakes, cookies, and more for any occasion. She takes pride in making every order memorable in decorations, details, and most importantly, taste. Please give her a follow on Instagram at @ooh_confectionery407. She also is on Facebook at @ooh_confectionery. And she has a website at www.oolalaconfectionary407.com. Now, the oolala is OOHLALA.
I'm glad you did that one more time. OOH.
OOHLALA. What did you say, John?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you did. So, we had a little sample of her goodies here. She made a beautiful sample that we purchased with her, with some sugar cookies, some macaroons, chocolate, lemon, and strawberry vanilla slices. She even took the time to put the frostings on the side and not on the cake. This was beautifully executed. Even the sugar cookies had the flavors on the icing, like the name. You're getting cookies and cream, here it is. Lemon is on that one. The cake was exceptionally moist. Even mahogany, she had some, and she was impressed.
Very much magical.
Thank you. So it was, and Drew is very hard to please. He don't eat icing on nothing, and he gobbled down that slice of cake.
I appreciate the icing on the side.
So it was, now remember, the flavors are different, so I don't know which flavor you want, but.
It don't matter.
Okay, so, and she even put a very, very beautiful, beautiful.
Pass that back.
A very beautiful.
No, the strawberry over there.
The strawberry cake.
Yeah.
Very beautiful letter.
Tanks.
Card to us, to the fellows at the short desk. Thank you so much for your business. Congrats on the podcast. It's great to see that after all these years, you guys are still family. I think the podcast is great. I wish you all the best of luck in this endeavor. I hope you enjoy the sample box. Thanks again. Best wishes, Angie. And so, very beautifully done. I mean, the presentation is wonderful. And I can't do it.
That's why you can't have too many black folks around
you. In one room. In one room. You just can't do it. You just can't do it.
Nah.
So, again, check Angie out.
Mm-hmm.
And...
yeah.
She's
just,
well.
Just relax and swallow.
Wait a minute. Are you eating the? Hmm? Oh, you eating the macaroon?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Hey, what's the alcohol content on that wine, man?
The one that we had.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
Are you starting to hallucinate?
He's looking like it. John, didn't you just have a sleep paralysis episode?
Yes. He might be having one now.
I hope not. Let's get into this latest. Damn, bro, what's wrong?
I took off. I'm sorry, man.
So tell me, what happened with this last episode of Sleep Paralysis?
I know this is like a running bit from week to week, it seems like, but I just feel the need just to...
Your shtick.
Get it out.
Get it's it okay. out there.
Amongst friends.
That this happened. So I took a day off on a Friday from work, and I normally get up around, you know, 5-6 in the morning, mm-hmm. Help baby girl get ready for school, mm-hmm. get breakfast ready, make certain she does everything in the morning, puts on her clothes, puts on lotion, because she has a problem with that for whatever reason.
Are you a true island person, boy? You got...
And... since they left, they usually leave around 7 a.m.
Yeah, sweet tea in there too? You have sweet tea?
I took it. What is going on around this place?
Mahogany is handing out antibacterial hand wipes.
I was eating.
Okay.
And wanted to clean. I'm sorry. Okay. This is serious.
It's no problem.
I know how much this is. Okay. This is serious stuff.
I might need
and
some of
there
those.
There you go.
Look, here, just take it.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Anytime. There's plenty in my purse.
I appreciate your consideration and your support.
Hey, I got you.
R.I.P. Dr. Phillips. Or Mr. Phillips.
So, my people.
So tell me, John, so you can't...
My people.
Some food.
My people. You must get to class, my people.
Okay.
On time, my people.
So, I didn't sleep well the night before.
Rest uh-huh. well.
So, after they left, I said, you know, I'm going to go ahead and take a nap. It's 7:10, 7:15 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try to go back to sleep. And so, fall asleep. Probably wake up about an hour later. And I try to get up to do something, but then my body locks up. I said, oh, shit, here we go again.
Wait, I'm sorry. Locked up.
Like, shit, locked up. Like I tried to move.
Like a Charlie horse?
I couldn't move. That was basically, oh, this is what this is. It's sleep paralysis. Once again, rearing his ugly head. Once again. Fantastic. And I had to pee this time.
really appreciate you bringing these wipes right here.
You know, everything is about cleaning.
That was a lovely attempt at the deflection there, Drew. That was a lovely attempt at the deflection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't understand why he's laughing. He was not laughing at you. He's just, you know, my hands
feel... You're not making it any better.
No.
Do your hands feel really clean?
Moisturizing.
Yeah, it's not going to dry them out like alcohol does.
You got tears in your eyes?
Wait. You had to go pee?
It's not a strong odor either. Right. Yeah. It's just...
Because some of them are just really strong.
Yeah, yeah. We're overpowering. Mm-hmm. This is supple.
Is that a bead of sweat?
Very supple.
Okay. So your body locked up.
Yep.
And at this point, you had to go to the restroom and pee.
Yeah. Oh, it's with aloe. That's why.
Yeah.
It's with
aloe. Yeah, definitely moisturized. The vitamin E.
Yeah.
So what happened?
He is not your friend.
So here's the freaky part. I know everyone in the house is left. It is just me in the house by myself. Then I guess some demon decided to use my daughter's voice and speak to me.
Oh, what?
Yeah. Used Kimora's voice and spoke to me.
And everybody's gone.
Everybody's gone. And I had to think about it.
I can still see your brother just stepping over you, even though he wasn't there.
Wait. Okay. So.
I'm in a living room, by the way.
Oh, no.
And you know, there's this hallway. And you know in that hallway that leads to my daughter's room?
Yes.
And then, yeah. So I'm taking inventory. Like, wait a minute. Everybody left. Why am I hearing my daughter's voice? And it's speaking to me. And once again, I don't remember what it said. It said, like, daddy. I heard daddy. And then I said, wait a minute. Everybody left. It's just me. So she says daddy or this thing or whatever during this hallucination says daddy and says something that's unintelligible, but it's in my daughter's voice. And then I just hear footsteps coming closer and closer.
Somebody take that bottle of out of his vicinity. I think that might be the source of his hallucinations.
I hear these footsteps coming closer and closer to me. I'm like, wait a minute. She left the house in rubber-soled shoes. Those sound like leather bottoms. This is a hallucination. I'm going to wait for this to go ahead and play itself out.
Is your eyes wide open at this point?
Of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's always wide open. Mm-hmm. Wide open ears are...
I like to say, as you're telling this story, Drew is chowing down on a piece of strawberry cake like he...
And I just inhaled those macaroons.
Okay,
the cake is very moist, by the way.
Yeah, and your hands are moist.
That cake was and my hand, well, aloe, yeah.
I'm going to keep another piece after this.
Yeah.
Sop up some of this.
You better get it before I get that
bread
vanilla.
And potatoes to sop that up.
That's we ain't got none of that, but we're going to have some of these sweets, though.
Good.
Yeah, so I...
So you hear the footsteps.
Coming closer and closer.
Okay.
But I'm thinking it's not a huge distance from my daughter's room in the hallway to where I am on the couch. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, these footsteps should have stopped by now. And the footsteps just keep on going and going and going and going. Like, coming closer to me. And then finally I snap out of it. And promptly go to the bathroom. That's it. There's no punchline.
Whatever.
What did you watch? Like, did you watch something the previous night?
No, I didn't watch anything, actually. I watched my regular stuff. I watched Stock Mojo.
It does. Like a sunk place.
Stock Up with Larry Jones.
Yeah.
I just watched it yesterday, all of them.
What? Annabelle.
I said it sounds like Annabelle. Like the series. Yeah.
That's what it does sound like, The Conjuring.
I didn't watch anything remotely scary.
What did you eat that night? Maybe it's the food.
Might have been that damn Burger King chicken.
There you go.
All the hormones
that I talked about last week. Might have been that.
Maybe it's the food that you're eating that's causing you to have these hallucinations. What?
LSD.
What?
Maybe I had an opium overdose.
Something happened, bro, because that's straight out of a movie.
That's not the first time I've heard my daughter's voice. I mean, I've heard it multiple times when I would be in one of those sleep paralysis states.
So remind me never to fall asleep at your house.
You need an exorcism at your house.
Yeah. Wow.
Your mama need to go out there and sprinkle
some more.
Some of that goodness. Hey.
So were you freaked out after you used the bathroom? Were you like, okay, did you go back to sleep?
Yeah.
You went back to sleep.
Mm-hmm. He just wanted to get to the bathroom.
Bruh, I'd have been up the rest of the day. All the lights would have been on. Matter of fact, I probably would have went outside the house.
Once again, this is around 8:30 in the morning. I mean, yeah, there was light throughout the house.
That's fine.
I wasn't freaking out. Because I knew what it was.
So that part of hearing your daughter's voice didn't freak you out?
No, that it always freaks me out. But then I sobered up after, everybody's out of the house. Like, I saw them leave the house.
Ooh. That's intense.
Man, I'm glad we recorded this in the middle of the day, because if we recorded this at night, I don't think I want to sleep good.
Might as well have a Ouija board with these candles.
No, sir. We ain't bringing it up in here. No Lord Jesus. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. That's Bath and Body Works candles there.
We know how you love those.
Yes. Listen, that is really scary. That's scary.
My daughter's voice, or?
Yeah, that's scary.
The whole episode.
I think that would have did it. But you know, in some of the movies, they talk about how demons disguise themselves as the things of people that you love.
It took me back for a moment to that. Remember we used to watch Ghost Adventures?
Yeah.
And that Bobby Mackey's episode?
Yes, yes.
And that demon that they were.
You were asking for Duppy to come find you then.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is like Bobby Mackey's. What the hell's going on here?
Oh, woof.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there you go. So let's get away from that. You don't freak me out.
Jesus.
Hey, yes. Jesus. So, okay. Oh, man, let's recover. So I got to eat my words, right? A few episodes ago, I talked about the Versus and Trilla transaction and how it felt like it jumped the shark and everything, because Versus was a mini concert for us on Instagram, us black folks, you know, that we started to enjoy, and it had our favorite artists, you know, putting their 20 songs against the other artists' 20 songs. And they sold it, Timbaland and Swiss Beats sold it to this company called Trilla, and I felt like it jumped the shark. It wouldn't be the same. Well, I got to eat my words, because... Oh, yeah. It's happened already.
So Trilla owns it now.
Trilla owns it now. Okay. And that's why I have to eat my words, because they have a lineup that has been announced that is outstanding. Mm. Okay? So for April 4th, we have the Isley Brothers versus Earth, Wind, and Fire for Easter Sunday. Okay? That is... phenomenal.
In the words of my grandfather, gracious.
Then we have...
Can't say grassy, grassy.
Yeah, can't say... Then for 420, it's the How High special. Red Man versus Method Man. And then on May 8th is going to be Escape versus SWV.
Oh, man.
I have to eat my words, because I thought it was going to go commercial. I thought we were going to get some pop artists in there. But to have the Isley Brothers versus Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh.
Okay. To have Method Man versus Red Man, which is kind of weird because they work
versus. That's going to be more of a celebration.
Yeah. And then to have Escape versus SWV. I'm highly, highly anticipating these matchups. I look forward to all of them. So I have to eat my words.
We got dates on any of those?
Yeah, April 4th is the Isley Brothers and Earth, Wind, and Fire. April 20th is Red Man versus Method Man. And then May 8th is Escape versus SWV. And then they've got some other ones lined up. They have a Mother's Day special for May 9th. They have a rematch for Memorial Day weekend, and a couple of to be announced, but they don't have who will be in there, so they say they're just getting started. So big ups to Versus. Now, Timbaland did give an interview with the Breakfast Club, and he talked about how he felt that there was no one on earth that could battle in a Versus battle with Chris Brown, and Charlamagne the God said no, Usher would eat him alive. So What are your thoughts on a Chris Brown against Usher versus, and who would win on that one? I'll give you my thoughts.
What are your thoughts?
My thoughts is Chris Brown has consistently made great music for the last almost 20 years. I think it may have been 20 years now, almost.
Has it been 20 years?
It's been a while. He came out when he was like 15, 16. Well, he isn't, I'm sorry, he isn't 30, some 36 or anything, but he's made music for a very long time, consistently good. I think my opinion is that Usher will beat him. And the reason why I say that Usher will beat him is there's a difference between putting out very good music and putting out classics, right? Chris Brown has a lot of great music. Great music. I mean, he's still putting them out to this day. But can you look back and say, okay, I'm going to take 20 of Chris Brown's top songs, and I'm going to take 20 of Usher's top songs, and Chris Brown will beat Usher's top 20 songs?
I think it depends who's listening. Because we were middle school Usher coming up. College.
But even so, let's even throw it back to my, like, my sister's generation, right?
The millennial.
They grew up with Chris Brown. However, they also grew up with Usher because of us. So you hear, you know, what's the song called that he has? Chris Brown has Take You Down, right? You hear Take You Down. Excellent song. I really like that song.
Then Usher would have Nice and Slow.
Nice and Slow.
Yeah.
What do you do then? Take You Down is not going U-S-H-E-R-R-A-Y-M-O-N-D. Now tell me, baby, what you want to do with me.
Well, you know, I would say the Confessions album alone by Usher would take down.
Bruh. Confessions? 8701.
It ain't close.
That was hard. You felt the pain in his ass.
Yeah. So again, I'm not going to take anything away from Chris Brown, because Chris Brown makes some good music. But to say that Chris Brown is untouchable, I don't know about that. So, Mahogany, you sound like you would have Chris Brown take it.
Oh, no. I would be torn. I wouldn't really know. I can't give a definite, because they're both incredible entertainers. Mm-hmm. I think that Usher, of course, yes, I agree with you as far as the classics and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I think Chris Brown does reach out to other audiences than Usher, like more audiences than Usher would.
You think so?
Mm-hmm. he's made more like some pop style music. That is a little different.
Usher has made that OMG song. That was a very, very, very big pop song.
But if you compare them, like, who has more to reach out to pop culture, like, as far as pop?
Look, I think Chris Brown collabs with other artists more than Usher.
Yeah.
He's been more consistent.
But I mean,
none of the consistency, but I think what she's pointing out is that Chris Brown does collab with different genres or different categories of music than Usher does. Usher is in his lane. Usher controls his thing. And I think Chris Brown just kind of spreads himself at times a little too thin. But
I was just going to say that.
Right. So
yeah.
Do you feel like sometimes Chris Brown music all sound the same?
Yeah, okay. I do.
Okay. I agree.
You remember that 45 song album?
Yeah, everything sounded the same.
You got past like 22.
Still
good, but
yeah. So it would just depend for you, right?
It would depend. I would honestly like to see them perform together, but
that would be a good collab.
It would.
I think that if I think what I grew up on and what I enjoy and what I still sing out loud, like, you know, in the shower and walking around the house, like, I got a mic, it would be Usher.
Okay. That music resonates with you better.
It does.
Okay.
Because he was the same age as me singing, you know, so he was going through the stuff that I was going through.
Yeah. Okay. I think, for me, I'll say this. I think that Chris Brown, as far as singles go, he has more singles, of course, because he's produced more music and more hit singles, if that makes any sense. But as far as albums go, I don't think he has an album that can touch Usher's albums, like a complete album.
Like, and I have to agree on.
You know, but again, I love Chris Brown. Chris Brown is, yeah, he's got
dope and emotional and stuff.
Yes, I might be jumping the shark on this one. Uh-oh. Can we get Anita Baker on the Verses at some point?
That would be nice. Right now, she's actually battling all the streaming sites right now, so we may not. Because she says that the record label will not pay her for her records that she, I guess she co-owns them.
Man.
And so she's advising everyone not to stream her music. So we probably won't get that for a very long time. Mm. But that would be nice.
I would love to have Anita Baker on
first. I would like to have Anita Baker and Tony Braxton.
Just to do a damn concert or something.
Yeah.
Has there ever been like a Busta Rhymes, Twista battle or...
So there's been talk about what they were saying on the Breakfast Club is that Timbaland's been trying to convince Missy and Busta Rhymes to go against each other.
Oh, that's not a. I don't see that.
You don't think so?
No,
I see it because they're both very versatile. They both made a lot of hits. They made a lot of versatile music videos.
I'm just gonna go with Black Girl Magic on that one. I love Busta Rhymes, but Missy is so creative.
Like, she is
kind of before her time,
right?
When she came out with a lot of that stuff.
I don't see anybody that can take her. Really,
I think Ludacris would have been a good matchup for Busta Rhymes, in my opinion, more so than Nelly.
As far as style,
yeah. I don't think that they, I'm with you guys on that. I don't think that anybody could match up well with Missy because of how innovative she was and what she's
absolutely
done.
Amazing,
and
yeah.
That'd just be a short desk concert at that point.
It should be.
Her early Missy versus late Missy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How talented you have to be to make versus yourself.
Yeah.
She could.
Yeah.
She could definitely do that.
Yeah. Early versus late.
Two different. Well,
it really is.
It's two different people.
You know who else had two careers like this, like that, in a sense? Not as far as creative, but Beyonce's had like two careers.
Yeah.
Because when she first came out solo, I mean, not with Destiny's Child, she had a certain type of music that she made when she first came out. Now, in the second part of her career,
she's rapping
second
more.
Quarter.
She's rapping
she's,
more.
Yeah. It's
so
more conscious.
Destiny's Child versus Beyonce.
It's a lot of the emotional evolution during that course, too.
Yeah, you're right about that. So that has had an impact.
Do you think she would even do versus?
No.
I don't think so.
I don't think the real big artists, the ego part of it, right?
Jay-Z versus Nas?
Oh, man, that would be...
I love Nas, but Jay-Z would wash Nas.
You think so?
Yeah. Wash him. Jay-Z would have to go.
The late Jay-Z.
The late Jay-Z.
The late.
One got ate up on each.
Well, I'm talking about, from a top 20 song perspective.
Okay.
Like,
because
that's what Versus is. You play your top 20 songs against the other top 20.
But for Jay-Z, his top 20 songs are going to be the late Jay-Z more so than the early Jay-Z. One or two early Jay-Zs.
I don't know about that. He put a mixture in there.
I'm sorry. I ain't started listening.
See, you didn't start listening.
That's
to
just
him
me,
late.
Though.
You didn't start listening to him late, but
I listened to him late because he actually started putting out
Doubt.
Something that, like, oh, yeah.
Reasonable Doubt is a classic. That's his first album. Then you got Blueprint.
I heard that every morning in Delaware.
Blueprint, a couple songs here and there. The other song.
What?
Renegade was one of my favorites.
But I'm not.
Yeah,
you know, I come from a different class.
Understood. I think it'd be difficult. There's a few people that it'd be difficult to sit there and say, okay, they'll do verses. I think Missy, I think Jay-Z, I think Drake, I think Beyonce. Damn, who else would it be difficult to do one for? People may not want to hear this. People may not want to hear this, but I'm just going to say it. I don't believe with all of the names that I just mentioned, that there's anybody alive. Well, no, I take that back. There's only one person alive. There's only two people that are unbeatable in the Verses to me.
Mm.
That's Stevie Wonder,
mm-hmm.
and that's Robert Kelly.
Yeah, I knew you were going
with
that.
I'm not going to argue with that.
Those are two people that those are the only two that I think, okay, they need to sit down and have a versus against each other. You know, if he wasn't, you know, pedophiling.
In between his pedophiles.
You know, those, I don't think those two, just looking at their music, the music that they wrote for people, the music that they've produced for people, because they've wrote music for a lot of people.
That's what, yeah. Whose verses was based on that? T-Pain and who was he?
T-Pain and Lil Jon.
Okay.
They went against each other. I didn't know. I just found out that Stevie Wonder had wrote Tell Me Something Good for Chaka Khan and Rufus. I didn't know that. Yes. Stevie Wonder and R. Kelly are the only two I feel that are untouchable in a versus.
They'd murder anybody who they put in
the Yes.
Not even close.
No, it's not.
Not even close.
It would just have to be them two, you know, like. And you could, there's no way they could just play 20 of Stevie, 20 of. No. Yeah.
It would have to be like a three part.
So it'd be a short desk concert.
It'd be a short desk concert.
Still, that wouldn't be enough.
An NPR. A 2 hour short desk concert. But he ain't getting out of prison no time soon. So, anyways, real quick. So I don't know if you guys ever heard of Derek Jackson.
Oh, my God.
He's some social media phenomenon that came through the last couple of years. This black man that he likes to
tell black men how to be black men.
Shit on other black men.
Yeah.
Denigrate the black man.
I think you hit the nail on the head. And
very much critical.
Let me tell you something.
I love your stretch marks.
There's no one walking this earth that is perfect in anything that they do. Okay? But you cannot get up there and throw stones
in a glass house. Wow.
People love to keep receipts.
So this young man who loves to talk down on black men in particular for all the wrong that he feels that they do, and he likes to cap for, yeah. So he got up there and he got exposed.
So he's a Steven from Django?
Yes. He got exposed with his wife. Actually, it was two women. I thought it was one, but it was two.
I count six, nigga.
Okay. And then he got his wife on. Looked like he pulled her straight out of bed.
That was hilarious.
He told her, do this video with me, as he held her hostage to say that. It looked like he helped. Did you see the one part where he like looked,
where he
at,
looked
her?
At her?
Yeah.
Did you see the meme with him and who was it?
The memes.
Well, why you think about
that's
it?
That's why the internet is up.
Why you think about it? My favorite meme was they did the bus it challenge, and there was a woman that came through kind of dressed with her, and there was a trash can on the couch, and when she dropped, the trash can turned into Derek. That was my favorite one. Let me say this. There's always some truth to things. You know, we as black men, we have to do better. There are things that we need to do with the women in the community as far as how we treat them and how we do things. That is not a moment that should be lost, okay? However, what you cannot do, as I said again, you cannot throw rocks in a glass house. Yes. So Mahogany is showing us the Will and Jada picture.
There was another meme with Buddy we're talking about, Ike Turner.
Yeah.
And how he grabbed
How he had her hand. Yeah. That's how he had her.
He looked like she, yeah.
Yeah, that's
she
how
was
he
in
had.
She looked like she was in distress.
Yes.
Sitting next
yes.
to
her. Yes. And now she's come out saying that she, I didn't even really listen to what she had to say, but I want to get your perspective,
the
Mahogany.
I
want to get your perspective on this, Mahogany. Like, what are your thoughts on Derek and then the fallout and then his wife? And what's your thoughts?
Your mom's listening. Okay.
Come on with it.
Say whatever you want to say.
So I really feel like he's human. He's just a man, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what he did was set himself up as far as being perfect, right, to a certain degree. You know, he never said he was perfect, but the advice, air quotes, that he was giving or the direction.
Very condescending.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And critical of men.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, although, you know, of course, I don't know him personally, I think that he kind of set himself up to be this phenomenon that just loves and appreciates women and would never disrespect or hurt anyone and things of that nature. And he just got caught. Because then you have to think, was the apology because he got caught or because he's genuinely sorry? And then you also have to think. I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But he would have never said, "I apologize, baby, for doing this," had he not got caught. Mm-hmm. People typically don't.
Well, it would be a non-factor if he wasn't condescending to
Right, because people cheat. Yes. You know, sadly enough, people cheat. Absolutely. And they're dishonest.
Absolutely.
I just think that with him, it's like social media. He's on this platform.
That's his platform.
He definitely used it to benefit.
Yes.
He's still probably going to benefit from it. He's probably still going to have money and get paid and get book deals. People are going to wonder. Like, you can profit off women's emotions. So, and that's what he's doing now.
And that's his biggest audience. Really, then, his only audience.
And then
niggas ain't checking.
He actually reacted to his own video. So how?
So I saw that. I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch
that. That has to be the biggest egotistical.
Give me the N word.
Ever niggerish thing I've ever seen in my life.
I like that suffix on the word.
Yes, because how do you sit there and speak in the third person and critique your video of you holding your wife hostage, this poor woman? I feel bad for her. Seriously, I really do. I see a lot of people making fun of her, of how she was dressed and everything. And yeah, it's funny and all that other stuff, but I feel bad for her because now she's being forced into the limelight. Because hell, I didn't even know he was married. I don't know too much about him,
ever.
But I didn't know he was married. So now she's being pushed to the spotlight. You're holding her hostage, and you're making her come out as this forgiving figure and growing more sympathy for you for what you did, and then now all should be forgiven, and let's go back to doing what I was doing before, which was talking condescendingly to men, even though I messed up. He even had the nerve, the pastor, Derek John Gray or whatever his name, John Gray.
Oh, yeah, he went in on
him. So he went in on him, and John Gray had a response for him like, you know, I won't do what you did to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? And like you said, we're all human. He's a man. You know what I'm saying? We fall. You know what I mean? It happens. I'm not condoning it, but it happens. But you do not build a platform, in my opinion, to be condescending to men when you're doing what you're trying to teach them, so to speak.
Yeah. I think that people typically put men like him on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
They shouldn't, because, again, nobody's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe that in my opinion, a sad situation.
Yeah.
Because she, like you said, I didn't know she was married, and she's just there. And I mean, I have no doubt maybe in the background somebody's saying, well, honey, that's your husband. Continue trying, continue praying, continue doing all these things. So.
But was it that's an embarrassment, though, right?
Very
so things
much.
Can happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for him to be who he is, you know what I'm saying?
That's the problem. Because, I mean, like, you know, we know people cheat. People do dishonest things.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, him just, it's just that he put, like, social media has it so that he's here,
uh-huh.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is Mr. I'm going to teach you how to be a good black man because I do no wrong type situation.
Yeah.
And now he's fallen from grace. Mm-hmm.
I use the comparison like this, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would be like me using my platform right now
mm-hmm.
on this podcast and telling you, you better marry black and my wife is Puerto Rican.
Right.
Who the hell am I to sit here and do that when I'm being hypocritical? I'm telling you, you better marry black, you better do this black, you better do that black,
mm-hmm.
when I'm in an interracial relationship, even though she's a minority,
right.
it's still an interracial relationship.
Right.
So who am I to sit here and tell you what you need to do? And that's kind of how he came across when
Definitely.
Addressing men and what you should and should not do.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole time, bro, you got problems. He got problems. And again, my heart goes out to his wife. I could give a damn about him, really, to be honest with you. Because, again, she looked like she got woken up out of bed. You better get on this video with
and
me.
She catches
well, accosted in bed. Not woken up, accosted in bed.
Like, what did she do? You know what I'm saying?
Grabbed by. We need to get up and film this right now.
But he made a video.
Reacting to his own video.
Removing himself from the entire situation.
Third person.
So that's just weird.
Let me ask you this, Mahogany.
That's a that was a business move.
It was. Let me ask you this,
Mahogany. Did it work?
Well, that's what we're talking about it right now, aren't we?
So all publicity is publicity. Yes, like, you'd rather be good or bad.
So you're a black woman.
I am.
And that is his base audience. Mm-hmm. What is it about him that makes him so popular? And what is going to keep... Why hasn't his base really turned on him?
Because he's fine.
Because he's not. I don't find him attractive at all.
To you.
Yeah, to me.
I'm talking about to the masses.
Well, to the masses, yeah. He probably does look magical or whatever. But I honestly, I can't tell you what makes him popular because I never really knew... Like, I never really liked his presence on social media. Mm-hmm. Only because I am a big person into as far as speaking life into people. Mm-hmm. And if people tear down a certain people or demographic too much, it bothers me. Yeah. So I probably followed him maybe 4 years ago. I hadn't followed him since. And then this all of a sudden came like a whirlwind. Yeah. And people were sending me articles and videos and the memes mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, well, it doesn't surprise me that he's under fire. Mm-hmm. But he's still going to market and make money off of it. And that's what's crazy because the views.
Yeah. That's where you make money. The views,
you can get monetized.
Yeah.
Quickly, you know, yeah. And
I'm sure
that's what's sad because
a couple of million views.
Yeah, due to her despair,
yeah.
or whatever they're going through as a couple, they're still going to benefit financially.
Yes,
she's not leaving.
Nope.
And we just going to be mad.
Yeah.
So
he's still going to be condescending.
He's still going to do it because nobody's stopping. Nothing is going to stop him from doing that unless he loses the audience and it makes
may have grown from this
200,000.
Jeez.
So was it real?
That's a good question. Well, damn, that is a good question because everybody could have been in on a money heist. Wow.
Aha.
You did it, Drew. You did it, Drew.
Taste the soul.
Well, you know, I tell you what, I had never really heard him before. Like, I in the group, I just know mm-hmm. of passing, like. My one of my friends, Omar, he hates him. So he hates his gut. So he can't stand him. So that's how I found out about him. Because to this day, I haven't watched more than maybe 50 seconds of him. You know, I'd rather read it. I can't. Yeah.
If the video comes up in the feed now, I'm just like, nah. Mm-hmm. I think I sent you one where there was like 7 slides of her talking.
Yeah.
I watched it all. And I mean,
Yeah.
Well, we know where she gets her strength from.
Yeah.
So she makes it. But if she gets too mad.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on from that. So, Mahogany, let me ask you, do you have any... Well, I talked to you the other day mm-hmm. before I go to what I was going to say. And you kind of threw me off because I had been knowing you for a while as being a vegan.
Very strict.
And then all of a sudden I heard you talking about meat, a steak, something you said. And I was like, when I drove off, I had the music down. I said, wait a minute,
she ate meat.
Yeah.
So
now you eating, you've now started putting meat back into your diet.
Yes, I do not go crazy.
Okay.
But I do. Here and there, hormone free, free range, as healthy as meat can be.
Okay. How long were you vegan?
4 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
3 years, 10 months, almost 4 years.
That's a long time.
And I did it initially for health reasons.
I
did it because I couldn't lose weight at the time. Mm-hmm. I was younger and all kind of stuff was going on with my body, and I was like, well, wait a minute, something has to change. So mm-hmm. I did. Vegetarian first. Mm-hmm. I broke the meats down. I stopped. I have never, like, since childhood, I pork is not an option for me. Mm-hmm. My grandmother grew up on a farm, so, you know, we had all kind of critters and stuff going on.
My mama used to fry you up a pork chop. You used to come over there. Don't act like you ain't never ate pork before.
I never said I never ate pork before. Mm-hmm. I said I have not eaten pork in a long time.
How long has it been?
since your mama has not made my pork chop for moving her. Me and my truck deserve still waiting on our pork chops.
That you ain't gonna eat.
No, I ain't gonna eat it now.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, but again, I'm not gonna say I've never eaten it.
Yeah.
It's just not the best thing for me.
Correct. Correct. And it really is. I had ribs, pork ribs last week. And no.
You just didn't feel good?
Bathroom. All evening.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Four trips. Okay, go ahead.
I believe it.
I started.
No, I'm just saying, I've messed with pork ribs in it.
Yeah, I didn't know what, I was like, well, what did I, like my stomach just started messing up and I said, okay, what's going on? And then I said, oh, I had three bones. Mm. And I shouldn't, because my meats consist of 90% chicken, 10% beef.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I throw
something odd in there,
yeah,
your body be like, "Oh, this what you want to do? All right,
yeah,
learn today."
Yes. So okay, so you had to switch over. You took it step by step.
Yeah, I took it step by step, but then like I would eat something like extreme stuff would happen because I kept saying it. You know how you put things into the atmosphere and they kind of carry, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I kept saying, no, I'm not going to eat meat anymore, but then I would eat it. So I started getting like food poisoning. I would go to a restaurant and like get chicken tenders or something and like the middle be raw. Like I would bite into it to be raw. Mm-hmm. So, and it would just turn me off to it. And that would be like cold turkey. So it just went like, and then I got down to seafood, which took me like 7 months because I love all creatures of the sea.
Right.
So I was like, okay, now I got to stop eating this.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got to a point where I was like, well, let me just stop. Let me see what I can do. Went vegetarian. Then the dairy was bothering me because I'm thinking I have a natural lactose intolerance.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went vegan. Like no animal byproducts whatsoever. I didn't substitute anything. But then I got bored. I found myself still eating the same stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. So then Pinterest came in. And then I did everything from raw vegan to alkaline vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And then
What?
Alkaline vegan.
Like better?
Very extreme. That was too extreme for my body though. I got sick from it. Or I didn't know how to replace whatever I was missing. Let me say that because it works for some people.
Very extreme, but
it was
okay.
And then you know I had surgery in November,
mm-hmm.
so I wasn't regaining strength fast enough. I had a lot of things going on in my body that I had to replace, and my doctor was like, "Your B12 levels are garbage. You need to do something."
Okay.
So then I was like, "Where can I get it from?"
Yeah.
And the health issue has since been resolved. So I was like, "You know what? I'm gonna eat." And I ate, and I was like, if I get sick, then I won't eat it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't.
Wow, that's good.
So I was like, okay, everything in moderation. So mm-hmm. I don't, it's not every day.
Right.
It may not even be every week.
Okay.
But I do. I partake it.
Chicken, beef, seafood.
Beef, definitely seafood.
Yes.
Oh, by the grace. seafood is... Yeah.
That's your weakness there.
It is. I cannot eat chicken. I cannot eat beef. I could not eat any other creature. But
what's your favorite?
Shrimp.
Okay.
I got it bad.
Okay.
I got it real bad for shrimp.
Understand.
Yeah. But clean flesh fish.
Yeah.
A clean fleshed fish. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So. All
right.
But yeah, I mean, I'm back in the game, and
that's well. Hey, whatever's good for you and your health and everything. So
yeah.
As long as it's healthy for you, that's good.
The good thing is, I wasn't a food bully. You know, like, you gotta eat vegan. You gotta do this.
God,
I
was
like,
that do that.
Yeah, because this will be a surprise to a couple people.
Oh wow! Okay, all right.
Well, that just means they don't talk to me enough. No.
That's what it is. That's all. I'm telling you, man, you had me like shook for a
you look time. Because remember when we had the catering at work and it was a Mission Barbecue and I didn't touch a thing.
You didn't touch anything. I remember I asked you. I said
I was like, no, I can't eat anything up there. I'm fine.
Yeah. And then when I used to have the food trucks come out there, it was like, but you had me change my thought process because when I would call the different food trucks to come out there, I would go, oh, you know what? Let me make sure.
There's at least one.
Or the food trucks at least have the vegan options mm-hmm. for her.
Yeah.
So you'll be able to get something.
And trust me, I love those trucks. I did. I ate.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they still be emailing me to this day. Like, hey, are you guys ever? No.
The building's not even open. Not open. But there is a Tasty Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. They have the food trucks.
Oh, yeah. Down there off of is it Corinne and...
So.
Yeah, somewhere off of there. I know where you're talking about. Yeah, I used to go there a lot of back in the day.
Me and my sister, we go.
Yeah, yeah.
I think every other Tuesday. Sometimes all Tuesday.
They're good. So, Mahogany, before we get out of here, do you have any advice for anyone that's trying to start their own business, try to get started with what they want to do? You know, what would you give them as a piece of advice?
The main thing that I would tell anybody, especially starting, is to be patient with the process.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just go through the steps. Don't try to skip anything. Master things in waves. You know, mm-hmm. you can't do everything all at one time. This is not going to work. You'll overextend yourself. But just make sure that you trust the process. Work just as hard for yourself as you would for anyone else, mm-hmm. if not harder for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And just patience is so key. Because I've been making jewelry forever, but I think these last 5 or 6 years was when I really saw money, like, coming. Mm-hmm. That's when I knew what to charge. That's when I knew the quality of my work. That's when I trusted the quality of my work more. So just trust yourself, trust the process, and be patient.
That's good. Let me tell you why that's sound advice, because a lot of times when you're in a business, you want things to jump and move right away. You want to see the big return right away. So
it's going to be some broke days.
It took you a little bit to kind of start seeing the return, and then you said you were kind of underselling yourself.
I was just happy people were wearing it. I was like, oh.
Wow.
And I knew it was really, I think it was 1 week where I went out like to 3 or 4 different places, and at least 2 of those places, I saw somebody who didn't know me and something I made.
Wow.
And I was like, I might be on or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Seriously.
So, you know, I just had to trust it.
Okay.
Business is like children. You invest a lot in them.
Yeah.
Patience. Support them and sacrifice for them. So.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you. A lot of people need to hear that and know that, it takes time. It's not mm-hmm. an overnight thing. All right. Well, this has been fun. You guys have had me. I done lost about a pound laughing. John still has not recovered at 100%, but he'll get there. He had a nice piece of cake, which may not do him any good. any final thoughts and song of the week for you guys today before we get out of here? John, if you know.
Kill Jill. By Big Boy, Killer Mike, and GC.
Ooh,
Kill Jill.
I don't think I've heard that one.
Hey.
Okay.
Has a Japanese feel to it at the beginning.
Okay.
That's what resonated with me at the beginning, and then went on into the ignorant stuff. But it was a good song for me. So, Kill Jill.
Okay. Drew, you got any song of the week final thoughts?
Boy.
So dramatic,
ain't it? always
the classic. Mm-hmm. Lenny Williams.
Oh man,
that's all I gotta say. Okay. You know, you already know.
Yeah,
you already know.
Derek should have been listening to that.
And the cheap shot went like,
yeah,
you know what, I don't even know who that brother is or anything like that. I don't care to know him, so I can't formulate an opinion on him, because we all fight demons of our own, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. However, and I don't really care to know who that brother is, to be honest with you, but just a little insert of it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't throw stones. This is my final thought of the week, right?
Yeah.
So don't throw stones if, you know, you got your own sins that you're battling. And then belittle the next man for fighting the same sins.
Sweep around your own.
You know, I got my own, you know, take care of y'all before you go out, y'all, you know? So,
yeah.
Sorry.
Hey.
My aunt hit me hard the other day. She told me I sound horrible when I talk, so.
Wow.
Yeah. That hit me in the gut.
Dang.
Remember, that's relative. But you know, huh?
That's relative, though.
Yeah. You know what? I'm still going to do it, so it's all good.
It's all good. I guess my song of the week is called Mystery Lady. It's by Masego and Dom Tolliver. It is very good. I didn't even think I would get into the type of song like that, but man, it's very good. Masego, I think that's how you spell it. M-A-S-E-G-O. It's called Mystery Lady. I'll play it for y'all when we get out of here, since I can't play nothing on here due to copyright and I ain't about to pay them.
Infringement.
My final thought, I will say, before we get out of here, Mahogany, can you tell them how to reach you for any of your product, how to get in touch with you online, and also your website?
Okay. The website is www.mrochelle.com, and that's MROCHELLE.com. I can also be contacted via DM on Instagram, which is underscore. It's the braces. I'm blaming on that. _MRochelleJules_ on Instagram. My DM is always open. Please reach out.
That ain't for you fellas to jump in. She talking about business. Go ahead.
No, because my fella may jump in. But and then Facebook is MRochelleJules. More than welcome to inbox there. But if you go to MRochelleJules.com, there is also, you can email me, reach out to me there as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. People, please continue to support each other. I just want to say this. Make sure that whenever you go out and do anything, people are watching, and you be mindful of the person that you rebuke, because you don't know what may come back to you. Be careful in that. Just really, really have a thought in what you say about another person or what you do to another person, because you just don't know what seed that you sowed that you're going to have to eventually reap from. And it's sometimes not pretty, especially if it's a bad seed that you did. So be careful in that, you know, be very, very careful in that. We are the Short Desk Podcast. Holla at your boy. Thank you for staying with us for 10 episodes.
A lot of mercy.